Hey everyone, my name is Philip Hernandez, the creative director and entertainment writer for Blacktown TV, and I am your host for today's episode of Look Who's Next podcast. For those who don't know, the Look Who's Next podcast is all about engaging conversations with influential people in the entertainment industry. On today's episode of the Look Who's Next podcast, we have Courtney Saison, an amazing writer, director, and producer, originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, but now
yes. Resides
in New York.
She is I had to jump in there.
She is also the founder of Fragile Wildflower Productions, a multimedia production company specializing in diversity. Courtney is the creator of some amazing projects, such as the web series Complexities and three upcoming ones, Prospect Park, Girls, and Kinfolk.
Yes.
She also won the best screenwriter award for the Prospect Park pilot episode at the 2019 Hip Hop Film Festival. On top of that, the pilot also won meetings for potential acquisition development deals with Revolt TV and Theo Rossi's production company. And there's way more to come. Hi, Courtney.
Hi. I'm sorry I jumped in.
It's okay.
When you were doing the introduction, you know, you said New Orleans, I got excited.
Yes.
Hi, Phil. Hi, everyone out there in podcast land.
Yes. You have to rep where you're from. So I like that.
Thank you. 504 for life.
Okay. So I'm just going to jump right into it. So I read that you first wanted to be an actress, but you transitioned into being behind the camera. When exactly did you first realize that you wanted to make or create projects?
Okay, so I've been acting since I was little. I was an actress in school plays and in church. I would do speaking in church and participate in the church plays. So I was always like a public speaker, and I love that. And my whole life, it was always acting, like going to the movies and not just enjoying them, but studying them and studying the great actors and reading all of the Stanislavski books and going to all of the schooling and training that I could to learn all of the different methods for acting. So it was just my whole life that I did that. And when did the change come? I would say it happened in 2000, I was living in LA at the time when I started writing, and I kind of got, I don't want to say disengaged with acting, but I just wanted to be more in control of my career and create things, because, you know, acting is a lot of rejection. And so I have so much respect for actors, and I always just try to make the audition process as well as the onset process very easy for them, because I feel like I've been where you are, and I know also know how to communicate with them well, because, you know, I've done the training. But I would think around 2008 was a pivot. I was getting some scripts and I was kind of judging them, to be honest. I was like, oh my God, these shitty scripts. So I said to myself, if I'm going to judge, I need to do better. So that's when I started learning how to write. And so I would just write. So I've been writing since 2008. Then once I started writing, I said, well, I want to bring these films to life. So how do I do that? So, you know, my good friend, the internet and Google, how do you make short films, you know, things like that. And how do you put together a crew? So I just started putting my own things together. And who was going to direct me? Because, you know, I wrote it. And who was going to produce it? Me, because nobody else is going to fund my stuff. So that's what I officially started doing in 2015. And then when the whole Oscar So White debacle started in 2016, I did an LLC for Fragile Wildflower Productions. And I knew that I wanted to help, which now sounds a bit trite, but I don't think it could ever be too much out there. But inclusivity in front of the camera and behind the camera, especially for women and minorities. And yeah, that's my story. So I basically transmuted my passion for acting into writing. But I even remember when I was a little girl writing stories in school and starting like a school newspaper. So I always had an avid interest in it. But I always thought it was going to be acting, not realizing it could be all of those things. So maybe one day I will act again. I haven't cast myself in anything I've done, because I always felt I could find an actress who could connect to the character better than I could, even though I wrote it or birthed it. So I always wanted to be fair with that. But I just remember being little, my first movie that I auditioned for, not to date myself or age myself, but was Interview with the Vampire, the little girl part, and that Kirsten Dunst played. So obviously, you know what direction they wanted to go into, but I remember the casting director, we had to just do one line and you just had to look at her and say, "Sam, I am so angry at you." So that was pretty much it. And it was in New Orleans. And it was just really dope. It was really dope. So I'm very verbose. Sorry, Phil.
No, that's fine. I think that's cool. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So being that you are a filmmaker, who is your favorite filmmaker?
Ooh, who's my favorite filmmaker? I mean, I don't have a favorite anything, any person, any music. Maybe my favorite color is black, but mm-hmm. It's all a mood thing. So it just depends what I want to watch.
Okay.
I respect a lot of filmmakers. Barry, what is his name? He did Moonlight. Sorry if it's Jenkins, Barry Jenkins, you know, Spike Lee, Ava DuVernay, you know, like the ones that are out there now doing what they do. But a lot of the people I admire are like right now, Donna Langley, the chairman for Universal, Sarah Gamble. She's the writer and creator of You on Netflix. I love Shonda Rhimes for life. And forever, that's who I most want to be like and emulate. I just have so much love and respect for her. So a lot of the people I'm looking at are like writers and creators in that way. Mindy Kaling, I love a lot. So it tends to be a lot of women and a lot of writers. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Fleabag and Killing Eve, and she's like writing a Bond movie. I mean, I got to meet her in person before, and I mean, just incredibly amazing to me, these women, and it makes me feel like I could be doing that. Of course, Ava DuVernay also, you know, these women who are creating things and organically creating them, actually writing them themselves, not, you know, claiming they wrote something themselves, but really creating their products and it being organic and true to themselves and just paving the way for others, trailblazers. So those are the people who I'm really looking up to right now.
I love that.
So
as noted before, you first wanted to be an actress. I saw that one particular role you had in the past was in one of my favorite web series, Situationships. How did that come about?
I had a role in what web series?
Situationships.
Oh yeah. I think I was. Did you mean the behind the scenes role or in front of the scenes? In front of the camera. In front of the scenes.
In front of it, because I think you were.
Oh gosh, I was such a like. Was I even a featured extra? I was such an extra. I was helping AD on there. And they needed someone to just walk through the scene. And I had on a nice sparkly shirt. So the director was like, "You can walk through." So I wasn't even, in my mind, camera ready. So I don't even think I had a line. I just basically just walked through. So that's what happened with that. And it was just from networking and meeting people. And that's how I got involved with the Situationships crew.
Very good. Yeah, I had to ask that because that's one of my favorite ones. So I was like, oh, wow, okay.
It was on BET,
yes.
I think, a lot with some of the other ones we've seen on there too. So shout out to them and for letting me be a part of that.
I think that's great. So out of all the projects you've already filmed, which for those who are listening, include Take Two, Complexities, Sisters, Uneffable, Prize, Progeny, and I guess we could really include the pilot of Prospect Park.
Which you're in, Phil.
Yes.
Are you going to mention that? You're making your acting debut? Are you going to mention that?
Oh my God. I wasn't going to, but I guess I will. Yes, I was in it.
You're amazing. You are in it, and you're amazing, and you were fearless and open and just had such great energy and a great spirit. And I commend you, and I thank you for being a part of it. And I hope we can go to the top together. And I can't wait for people to see your work. And I'm not just saying that because you're interviewing me. I really mean that. You know that. So,
thank you.
He did not pay me to say that, guys. Yes, he
did. Oh, my gosh.
But what were you going to ask me? So you said out of all of those projects, okay. Did I cut you off?
No, it's fine. Thank you. So out of all of them, which has been your favorite to shoot and why?
Oh, my God, Phil, I told you I don't have a favorite.
I know.
You're making me choose for my children. All of them different reasons. Sisters, it was my first foray. So I was nervous, didn't know what I was doing. So I would say that one, every time I look back on it, I'm just like, wow. And then each one for a different reason. Of course, I would say now I'm very excited because now the work is, you know, has an opportunity to be out there. So I'm really excited about these projects, and I've grown. Every project I do, I feel like I get better, and I challenge myself to get better, to write better, to create better characters, to have a more seamless story, to not be as verbose and wordy and really have a concise script. So I would say now I'm very happy about these projects. Mm-hmm. And with Ineffable, I just directed that. So I didn't write that one, but I did do all the others, Sisters, the Complexities web series, the Take Two mini series, and then a short film about sex selective abortion called Prize Progeny, which is really interesting. And I loved that because I felt like it was, what is it called? Socially relevant.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
So, and, you know, dealing with, you know, things that are happening in the world. And I would implore everyone to look up sex selective abortion. It's happening a lot in the United States now, but it does happen a lot in China and India. So I had Asian leads in there, you know, where the preferential child or baby that people want to have and are choosing to have are boys.
Wow.
So it's almost an attack on the femalehood from embryo or before pregnancy, where you can choose which embryos, you know, you implant if you do it in vitro or, you know, aborting because it is a girl, because, you know, guys are, I don't want to say easier to raise, but they tend to be able to make more money for those families and do more in society, which is also interesting because usually the women are the ones who take care of the parents when they get old.
Yep.
Not saying the son is going to put you in a home, but come on. So, you know, it's just really gnarly, but, you know, people do what they do for whatever reason. But, you know, I just think people have to be open-minded and change with the times. I mean, even in Nepal, they still put you in the shed, women, for your period. You're separated. And I remember reading that recently, and I asked someone from Nepal, I was like, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Someone I know, not just a person on the street. I'm not just saying, are you from Nepal? Can I ask you a question? But I know the person. And they said, it still happens now. And I said, well, why? It's 2019. I don't understand. Like, you have to know that I shouldn't be separated just because I'm on my period. And he was like, you know, that's just the way it has been. And da 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 da. But a lot of things have been certain ways, and it shouldn't be. I mean, people used to couldn't vote or segregation, and it shouldn't be. I'm sure some people still want it to be, but it's like, oh my God, these old, archaic, obsolete ideas or ideals, and they just keep, is proliferating the word, just keep, you know, continuing on, and nobody questions it, you know, because it's just habit or the way it always was, or it just benefits certain people. So yeah, tangent, but yeah, Prize Progeny was something I was really proud of. But right now, Prospect Park,
yes.
Very excited because I think that's the catalyst for everything that's happening. And then the other two pilots I wrote, Kinfolk and Girls, super stoked about. I am so verbose. I can interview myself. No offense to you.
Well, this is a great, you know, a great lead way into the next few questions I had. You have some great upcoming projects that we are going to discuss. And I think it's very appropriate if we start with Prospect Park. So how did you first come up with Prospect Park?
Oh, my God. Okay. So I don't even know. So Prospect Park, I needed a name for what I wrote, for what I already wrote. But basically, I could be trying to sleep. I could be on the throne, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. I could be walking down the street. I could overhear conversations. Basically, I hear voices. So I always tell people, if I didn't write, and this is no offense to anyone with mental illness, but I could be like schizophrenic or borderline personality, because all of these characters are in my head. So uh-huh. I'm so happy that I have a way to exorcise them and to get them out. So I hear voices. I don't think of a story idea. I just hear voices and I start writing and then I loop a story around it. And then at the end, I was like, what can I call this? And I was so interested in like stories that were named after places like Lincoln Heights or Brooklyn Heights or other, I can't think of any shows. They escape my mind right now, but they're named after the places that they're in. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, what should I call it? I was like, oh, Prospect Park. I live in Prospect Park. You know, they had like Baldwin Hill show, I think, back in the day. So that's what I did with that for Prospect Park. And I'm very big into British TV and drama and like the classics like Fawlty Towers and Dad's Army and Are You Being Served and Only Fools and Horses and like quirky shows like The British Office and Dark Place and things like that. So I wanted something with a quirky acerbic tone, and that's what I wrote for Prospect Park. And I thought the idea of like your friends as your family, like the show Friends was based around, was cool, with a touch of Living Single and a touch of just that British wit that I love. So that became Prospect Park. And I just fell in love with the Rudgy character because he's just larger than life and so cool and like the mother of the group. And he's just in your face and says what's on his mind and is just hysterical. And I just thought that that would be dope. So I can say that's one of my favorite characters. See, I do have a favorite in this aspect. In that project would be Reggie.
Yes. So what do you believe it will be about Prospect Park that will keep viewers, you know, watching it?
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. I hope I can answer it. I think we don't have anything like it right now. And that's what Theo Rossi was saying. Shout out to him. He's amazing and so talented. Just to watch his work on Sons of Anarchy and on Luke Cage as Shades, just amazing. And it just shows that it just shows something I think different. You know, you still have the same template like Friends and of course the comedy, but I think it's the spin that I have on it without giving too much, like that British wit.
Yes.
And it's always socially relevant and politically relevant and just dealing with things, social issues that we're dealing now. You have to, when people see it, I think they'll be engaged. I think the characters are interesting. I think it really resonates and you can really, really vibe and jive with the characters and see yourself in them. I see myself in all the characters pretty much, even the male ones. There's parts of me in there I didn't really even, do on purpose. So I don't know, maybe my writing is my therapy, but I think people will like the quirk if they're open to that, you know, if that's their genre of show. I think they'll be engaged and we're going to have fun. And I like to throw some curveballs and I'm a bit quirky myself. Some people would say weird, but I like quirky or unique. So of course I'm going to bring that to my writing. So it's going to be a different spin on the template you see, because I mean you see Friends and millennials and Dear White People and you know you see all of this these shows now, but it's just a different spin. It's my unique take on it. And if I was, you know, a part of a friend group with my friends, if I could like make friends, not make friends,
yeah
create Oh God, I wish I could make friends. This is why I write, though. I'm lonely and I have no friends. So end of interview, I'm gonna go run in the street in front of a parked car now. No, but all jokes aside, if I could like fashion, like God made us of clay and fashion friends, these would be my friends. And yeah.
Well, I mean, I have to say, even though, so yes, to everybody that's listening, I was in it. I'm not a main character or anything, but I have a small part.
And there are no small parts, Phil. You are a main character in your character's world. It is all about him in that coffee shop in his world. Every day, he's the main player, and the rest of the people are supporting in his world.
Well,
in your world.
I will say that, you know, even though I only saw that one scene out of the whole thing, I will say you are like correct. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but
thank you, Phil. I was just about to say, Phil, don't do it, don't do it.
No, I won't, but I will say,
don't do it.
I will say what the two characters I was in the scene with,
Reggie and
Pam. Reggie and Pam. I will say, Jess, I would definitely. Definitely love to be their friends. I mean, they
aren't they fun?
Yes,
and just the chemistry. Aren't they crazy and obnoxious and in tune and yes. to the left and just in your face?
They were hilarious, and yeah, I know that's also with the acting, but the script is hilarious, and like the stuff that they were talking about, I was like, wow.
Thank you.
And then the stuff I had to do, which I won't give it away, but I was like, wow. I will say you definitely are definitely the, like you said before, it's definitely touching on like stuff going on today and the stuff that I had to do. I was like, wow, it definitely resonates. And even as soon as I got to set and I sat with like some of the camera people and the other cast members, and when we were talking about what I had to do, we got into a whole like half an hour conversation about the topic, and I was like, wow, like,
I bet you
this is what's going to happen when...
Wait, it's already an encouraging conversation. Nobody told me that. I guess I was in my zone. That's so rad.
Yeah, I think you were still with Pam and Reggie, and I went to the coffee shop, and we just had a whole half an hour conversation, and they were playing the music, too, and I was like, wow. Like,
so amazing, the cast and crew, like the vibes. It was so fun, and people will see. Hopefully people will see what you did, and like I wouldn't even do that. And I've been on stage. I'm not gonna. We can say you sang.
Yes, I sang.
I'm not even trying to do that. You just like you. I don't know if you were scared, but you just owned it and just did it. Were you?
I was so nervous. I was so scared. And for everybody that's listening that, you know, actually knows me, they know that I was scared and nervous just because I'm a generally shy person. However, I will give kudos to you and your team. Everybody was super welcoming. Even the cast members that came, because I think you had to shoot at night. And the nice girl that played Monica.
Oh yeah, Tessa and Tessa played by Monica Henry, and then Quentin played by Anthony Goss.
Yes.
Yeah, aren't they just everyone
they
was
so
just
nice.
Amazing.
Yes, they were so nice.
And everybody the crew was, too, just on and, it. I hope that this gets picked up and they can come along with it. Well, hell, I hope I can come along with it. You don't know. Somebody may want to pick it up and be like, okay. We'll buy you out. You can go now. And it's like, wait.
But it was
so fun. And just to see it come to life and just to see y'all being so invested and taking it so seriously. And, man, it was great. And guess what? The editor, Matt, of Real Cut Productions, he helps edit a Single Man series and the second season of The Av for Bobby Ashley. Shout out to him. He referred me to Matt. He said, he was like, I'm editing it now because I gave it to him, the pilot, because I'm basically going to shop the pilot, the script, and a visual for like a concept so they could get the tone I want, since I said it's kind of a different quirky tone that I think can be interpreted in a myriad of ways, and I want them to see what I want from it. He was like, oh my God, I'm already done with a few scenes. This was the day after. He was like, the performances are so good.
Perfect.
Isn't that epic?
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. And I'm like, then he was saying, I'm done with four scenes. I was like, can you just send it to me? He was like, a whole rough cut will be done next Friday. I'm like, you can't just send me something? He was like, I prefer not to. I'm like, nah, because I want to see.
Oh my God. Well,
I'm so stoked.
I'm sure it's gonna look great.
Oh, I hope so.
I know.
Oh my gosh, I hope so. And Theo's waiting to see it. So he can shop it around to some people. I won't name who he wants to, but it's some pretty prolific people.
All right.
And then we'll see what happens with Revolt. So yeah, I'm stoked.
I think that's great. And yes, I had such a good time. Thank you again for even...
You're welcome. Thank you for being a part of it, because you could have succumbed to nerves or et cetera, and, you know, and our negative self-talk if you have it, and not wanted to participate or could have clammed up. So yes. Thank you for just full speed ahead, you know?
Thank you.
Being the captain of your ship.
Yeah, but you definitely...
I was inspired. I was like, shit, I wouldn't even be singing. Like,
oh my God. And I still can't believe I did that, because even your makeup artist, Stang, who was
Stang, very nice. Yeah, the Glaminator on Instagram. He did those faces. Great. What was he saying?
Oh, he even asked me, he's like, oh, do you sing for a living? And I was like, no, I do not sing.
Stang's so great. He's so encouraging.
Yes.
He's so crazy. And I'm laughing because he's always encouraging. Like, why would I laugh that he's always encouraging? But it's just like, it's a character in itself, like always a positive word.
Yeah, he's great.
Except when he's hot. Don't put him in some heat and have him sweating. No. Or give him like 10 bottles of water. If he's not hot, he's positive. But honey, get him hot. Just give him some iced coffee and keep him in some AC. And let him beat some faces, and he would do it, honey. Trust.
Yes, everybody was great. Helene, camera crew, everybody was great.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. So, switching from Prospect Park.
Yes, sir.
About your newest project, Girls and Kids. Woo-hoo! So, what can viewers expect from these two projects?
I'm sorry, Phil. I cannot talk about these two projects, unfortunately. Are there any other questions you'd like to ask me?
Yes.
No, I'm totally messing with you.
I know. Okay. I was like, wait.
I knew it. I didn't land it. I didn't stick my joke like a gymnast, because you totally saw through it. So the next two projects, I don't want to reveal too much about the storylines, but I will say Kinfolk is about the Kincaid family. It's a brother and his three sisters. They have very like legendary family members. Their grandfather and their father were very prominent in the African-American communities. Basically, the father's passed away, and the lead, Jace, is now the patriarch of the family. And let's just say his sisters are so fun. One is a kept woman, the other one's a journalist, and the other one is the youngest is an activist, and he is married to a woman who is very conservative. And it's just, it's a family dramedy. I say it's a dramedy because it's a drama and a comedy, but it's very interesting. So it's about family, kinfolk, and, you know, is family first, you know, family first, kinfolk, family first. So the Kincaid. So I'm stoked about that. And then girls, again, you've seen the template, best friends, four best friends in the city, and that can harken back to what? Girlfriends. It can harken back to living single. Yep. It can harken back to Sex in the City, you know. But it's just my spin on it. Very different career women, four distinct personalities. All characters should have that, right? So that's nothing new, but just the way I wrote it, a modern sexy day comedy, and it is a hoot to boot. I think I just coined that phrase. I should copyright it, but it is just, I'm so stoked, and I get excited writing it, because it's almost like, I don't know if I channel, but it just comes through. And so when I see the actors bring it to life, like at the two table reads we just did for both, and it's just like, they're saying my words, but I forget it. It's my words, and I'm like laughing and looking at people, and they're kind of looking at me like, well, you wrote it, so you get it. But I'm like, so in the moment, I'm like, no, this is like me watching it. This is so cool. Like, you know, who wrote that? Give that person an Emmy. And I'm like, oh, it's me. I guess give me one. Like, I don't know. Like,
oh, gosh.
It's crazy. But the thing that's so cool is that, and I don't know if this is because I have different personalities, no one has told me I had different personalities, like a doctor. It's not fully medically confirmed, but each story is a different genre, each pilot. So basically I got strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. Which one you want? You want one, you want two, you want three? I mean, you got to have something. So all different genres. Parker Park is the quirky comedy. Girls is the modern day sexy comedy. And, you know, Kinfolk with the Kincaid family is your family dramedy. So it's just so fun. And they all kind of came at the same time. So it was just like, which one comes first? And, Prospect Park actually didn't come first, but it came together the fastest because I was already writing like the others. But Prospect Park came together the fastest in like 4 days once I got in my stride.
That's so great.
So I think the character Reggie really helped. Yes. Reggie wrote it. Like Reggie spirit in the universe wrote it. So really, really dope. So that's what to expect from them. I'm so excited. I'm so stoked.
Yes, and I'm excited too.
I'm so busy. Tired. I'm going to cry. No.
But you know what? I will give it to you. You have casted for these two projects. You have casted some great talent. I mean, I know I'm huge fans of Victoria and Malik from
Oh God, they're the shit.
Yes.
They're amazing. Like, Victoria had auditioned for when I thought I was going to do a second season for Complexities. Malik, this was my first time meeting him, but I've seen him on Pillow Talk.
Yes.
And I think he was on, what's the other? Tough Love. Shout out to them. And he's just so dope. I'm trying to get him to write a song to be the lead for the theme song for Kinfolk. He's so dope and a talented actor and a talented rapper or lyricist, because I think he's more than a rapper. And he's just, and Victoria, man, she brings, okay, so she plays the character of Quinn, and let me tell you, she is saucy, sexy, and feisty, the character of Quinn in Girls. And let me tell you, she lights it up.
Yes.
She lights it up like a gasoline trail, and you spark that match. Oh my God. Just her interpretation of it and the audition she did. And I was like, that's Quinn. And I was like showing people, and they were like, hell yeah. And man, she's actually like helping me behind the scenes on the project, and just great. Just a great,
yes,
great person and great actress. So I'm excited to finally get to work with her. And, you know, yeah, I can't wait till y'all see it. All four of the girls are just,
yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing. It's Malika, it's Nedge, and it's Tiana and Victoria. And let me just tell you, it's gonna be fun. And I really pray that people will watch and like all three, or that all three can get picked up and people enjoy all three, because you can kind of see that I wrote all of them, but they're all different. So if not all three, maybe two, or if not two, one, but I hope they gravitate to something and resonate with something. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure something will come with the talent that's on there. And I know we talked about Victoria and Malik, but I think you did so great with also casting Steven, who I think is like, wow.
Steven St. Pierre?
Yes,
he's amazing. He has his Corey film that is on the festival circuit.
Amazing.
He's so great.
And when I saw that he was casted, I was like, wait, 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 wait. He's with Courtney? What?
Yep, he's so great. He's so fun.
He's so great.
He's just, I really looked up, because he's doing his own thing. I'm like, you want to work with me? Like, oh, this is dope, you know? And he hit up Brittany, who was helping me co-produce these pilots, Brittany Hayward of Seriously Podcast, you know, she interviews, and your friend for the web series, and she's just epic. And I'm so glad she's taken this journey with me, because she's never done it before. So she's getting to see it from a whole different lens. And I'm sure she's also excited as well as also exhausted like myself, because we're just working really hard. But after the Hip Hop Film Festival, he asked her if he could be a part of it. And I was like, sure. And, you know, great audition and just a great guy. Salt of the earth, down to earth, nice guy. Yeah.
I agree.
He's dope.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, he's really dope.
Yes. So I know this next question, I know you might have to think about it. So I just want to know, what is your dream project?
Dream project to do what on and so, what genre?
Yes. So like a dream project, like you always wanted to do a superhero movie. You always wanted to do a political drama with Viola Davis, you know, something as far as that.
I think I'm doing my dream projects. It would be a dream to get them picked up and to just be able to share my platform with the world and then to help people, to usher in other people, like so many of the people I said I respected earlier are doing and opening doors for people. Oh, also Tyler Perry and what he's doing. I know it originated in New Orleans, and I'm not hating. I've never been a big Madea fan, even not to be negative since the plays, but I see what he's doing and I respect it. And what he's done with the studio is amazing. So just to be able to create projects one day and develop projects, you know, in Hollywood. Love and that. All kind of projects. I am petrified of horror movies. And I even tried to take a stab at writing one, but I scared myself. So
What
did you say?
Then it must be probably good. I love horror. Oh, wow. I would be interested.
Yeah, but I hate it. So I deaded that project. I aborted that mission. I just want to live my dreams and to do what I love every day. You know, it probably sounds trite, but if you have a survival job that you're not too keen on or that makes you downtrodden, you kind of understand it. So I just want to get paid for doing what I love. I know it'll have its own challenges, but at least I love it. You know, I want to be a contender, like Marlon Brando said on the waterfront. Put me in the game, coach. I want to shoot in the gym, you know, like drinks it, you know.
So yes.
Those are my dreams, you know. I'd like to do philanthropy one day. So I would like to be rich or wealthy, but I don't mean it in a way that I'm going to turn into like a curmudgeon or think I'm better than people. But, you know, I don't think it's wrong to want to be rich, to want to have money, and to also want to help people, you know. So those are my dreams. And, you know, to have a house in London one day, I would love. Maybe another house back home in New Orleans, because I left after Katrina. Simple life. I want to be able to be where I can be around people I want to be around. And I don't mean that in a condescending way, but, you know, I like certain vibes, but, you know, you can't always control who you're around at certain times in your life. But I would like to one day maybe be able to control my environment around me, you know, and the vibes around me. And just entertain people and make people laugh the way I get entertained. It's such joy when I'm like watching Peaky Blinders or, you know, and like salivating to know the new season's out and I'm gonna go watch it and get lost in Thomas Shelby and them. So I want people to be like, oh my god, Courtney has a new show or new season's on, you know. Yeah. I want to watch it. Yeah. And when people are like you were telling me, y'all were discussing on the set about something that was sparked from the script, you know, to encourage conversation and encourage people and people to be represented and be feel edified because they see, you know, a representation of themselves, like we're seeing more and more of, and to help other people get represented. And yeah, that's my dream. And maybe I'll get back into acting one day. I don't know. Nice. Who knows? Who knows, you know? So, yeah.
What advice would you give to somebody who wants to pursue a career in the film business, as far as either being an actress or producer, writer, or a director? What advice would you give to them?
That hasn't been said before. I mean, that you, because you usually hear like, you know, be super ambitious, don't be afraid of failure, you know, a no it will turn into a yes, or get you closer to a yes, or, you know, if somebody tells you no, you're not meant to work with them. I'm trying to see, those all apply, but believe in yourself, that applies too. I don't know if I can give a new jewel or a new nugget. For me, it's just like, you know, I will keep it raw. I've even had some work, and I can't really go into it, you know, but so why am I bringing it up? But I will lift it, and I've seen it become successful, which really sucks, because somebody takes your ideas and mm-hmm. makes millions off of them, or people think they're a genius, and it's like they didn't even come up with that. So that really sucks. So it's a matter of, even when negativity comes, do I want to say turn it into a positive and be like, whoa, hey, at least I know I'm talented. If, you know, my work can do great things, even though I don't get the credit. But it's like mm-hmm. not being deterred by negativity, also protecting your work, your intellectual property, being knowing the business side of things, I would say, and educating yourself, not just with your art, but with the business side. So that would be something I would say, and not sharing your ideas publicly. You never know who's watching on the internet exactly. nowadays, and they have companies and these studios employ people to hunt for ideas, you know, and if it's not copyrighted, it can be stolen, you know. Yeah, but educate yourself in your art, and definitely in the business, and what if you don't know something, learn it, or have people around you who do know, people you trust. Positivity, keep positive and high vibrational people around you, because it's hard, and just keep going, you know.
So we're down to the last question.
Okay. I'm in a hot seat now. What are you gonna throw at me?
Well, it's a question that I always like to ask at the end of every interview, whether written.
What's my favorite curse word?
Podcast.
What's my favorite curse word?
No.
Okay, sorry. I thought this was an actor's studio. I guess it's not, because I'm not an actor. All right.
What is next for Courtney Saison?
What's next for me? And I'm just going to manifest it. My shows are going to get picked up, and yeah, and they're going to be on television. That's what's really next, is that Theo wants to see the incarnation of the, you know, the physical manifestation of the script, what we film, and that's being edited. And then I will pitch to Revolt next month. See, when I was at the Hip Hop Film Fest, like you mentioned, I won the best screenwriter, and then there were two pitch contests. So I won both of those also. I had the pitch for my life. So now I'm pitching more for my life. So I just got word that I will pitch with Revolt next month. And I already pitched with Theo last month. So I want people to pick up the shows, and let's create them, and let's get a writer's room, and let's get a production team, and get these on TV. So that's what's next for me. I feel like 2020, I will get my foot in the door, and, you know, we'll be a woman in the arena. I think that's Roosevelt has a speech, man in the arena, be a woman in the arena, and get my foot in the door, or my big toe or something in there. And once you crack the door open, I'm coming through, and slide right on in and get a place, a seat at the table, and just start working and learning, because it's a new skill set to learn, having not done it before in Hollywood. And, you know, let's create some magic and make some magic with other creative, like-minded people, both creative and meaning artistic creative and business creative, because it takes a whole team. And let's bring it to life, and yeah, and make money and positions for people, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what's next. That's what I see in the future. And I'm big on visualization and manifestation, you know, thoughts or things, and my crystals, my citrine, which helps manifest. And it's so funny, because after Hip Hop Film Fest, this gentleman came up to me, and my citrine crystal had come out of my top, and I didn't realize it. And I wore it for all the festival days, during my pitches, everything. And this guy came up to me and was like, congrats on your win. And he said, can I give you something? I was like, sure. I didn't know what he wanted to give me. So you always got to be careful.
Oh my God.
So I was like, okay, yes. And he said, not that you need it, but here. And he gave me more citrine, a beautiful rock, you know, because it's for manifestation. So maybe I shouldn't be telling my secrets at this time of the interview. But no, what's for you is for you. You know, everybody can come along and win. So, you know. So I have citrine for the world. I'm giving out citrine. Go buy you some citrine. But yeah, so that was amazing. So I believe in manifestation. So this is what I want, because I believe Tyler Perry said in his last speech that your dream also impacts others. So it's not just about you. It you know, other people are riding on your dream. That was profound, because you know we know that. But to actually hear those words, it's like, whoa, epiphany, like light bulb moment, like, damn, you know, I can't abort this mission, because there's other people who need to, and not just get in for selfish reasons, but maybe just like somebody is opening the door for me, CR Capers, you know, at the Harlem Film House and Hip Hop Film Festival, opened the door for me for these opportunities, and somebody opened the door for her. If I get in, I open the door for others who will in turn open the door for, you know what I'm trying to say? It's just like a family lineage. Like if your great, 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 somebody didn't have a child or somebody would have, you know, not been born into the world, that would have affected the lineage. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So yeah, that was powerful when Tyler said that. So even though like I said, I'm not a big Madea fan, just what he's doing and putting his, it's not just lip service, putting action, you know, with what he's saying, and the studio is amazing. And then look at what he did. When he moved from his old studio to the new studio, and pardon me if I say it wrong, the Arrow Brothers and one of the people who used to work for him, Latin-owned, bought the old studio. So look at God, look at the universe, look at when you are bold and courageous and live your dream, you're helping others. And it's a domino effect. And if it can work positive, if it can work negative, it can be positive too. You see it everywhere. And everything that's ever existed was a thought. This table I'm sitting at, you know, the chair I'm sitting on, you know, us. Well, maybe not, because, you know, see, it's always planned, but they went through with it. You know what I'm saying? Sorry if that's a weird joke, but, you know, that's part of my sensitive humor. Please watch Prospect Park. But yeah, like, man, yeah, I'm so stoked. I'm so excited. I just want high vibration, you know? Yeah. I hope I answered it.
No, the you question. Did and more, but I think that's great. And I'm so excited for what's to come.
Still, me too.
Yeah.
For all of us, for everybody.
Yes.
Not just me. It's bigger than me. I'm just so damn stoked. You know,
yeah,
like,
I'm so happy. And I really hope everybody, you know, stay on the lookout for Prospect Park. If you guys wanna know about anything, fragilewildflowerproductions.com.
Yeah, Fragile Wildflower Productions. Just Google Fragile Wildflower Productions and you'll see all of the social media handles. It's everything except Twitter, because I just don't have time to do everything. And you can follow at Prospect Park Series on Instagram also. And we have some things coming up. We're going to do an interview with all three casts on November 15th for the Kickback and Chill show. So it's Kickback in Chill. You can follow there, and it'll come out after November 15th. But, you know, I'll snap some pics behind the scenes. And for the first time, all three casts are going to be together, and we'll talk about the shows, and it's going to be so lit, and you're invited, and
oh,
I'm just so stoked. I'm just so excited, and yeah, I've just been on a high lately, and not to say that life is all Skittles and rainbows and roses and peaches, but I'm just trying to stay high and high vibrations and focus on those things that I want, and call those things that aren't as though they are. And yeah, just trying to manifest great things for myself and others. So I feel like Atlas. I feel like I'm holding up the world right now, but it's worth it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm excited.
It's worth it.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And
Me too. Get excited, everyone.
Yes,
get We're excited. I'm excited. Phil's excited. Are you excited? And if you aren't, you should be.
Yes, should be. But thank you, Courtney, so much for doing this interview.
Phil, thank you. Thank you for all that you do with Black Talent TV. Thank you for years back covering complexities and just being kind, and for, again, being a part of Prospect Park and always being supportive and sharing and uplifting like all of the content creators. You are so rad, and I hope whatever you want in life is also manifested for you. And
thank you.
And just thank you, sir. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
Again, he did not pay me to say that. Yes, he did.
I did it. But thank you. I appreciate it anyway. thank you guys for listening. And this is another
thank y'all
of Look Who's Next podcast.